John chapter 10 is where we are looking this evening. I know on a Sunday evening I'm doing a series through the book of Acts, but youth service, it must be summer now, that sun's starting to come through that window. Being youth service, I just wanted to look at something a little bit different, maybe just for a one-off. So we've had the Bible reading from John chapter 10. And now we're there, I'll just open in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks that, Lord, your word is alive and it is just as real for us today as it was for those believers in our Saviour who read it that very first time. We thank you that, Lord, you have a plan for us and, Lord, you want to use us. We thank you for the next generation to come here in our church, and I pray that you would use them mightily here and other places where your will lies. But Lord, we thank you for them, and I pray now as we study your word that you may be the one who teaches, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our reading, we read of a time when Jesus went to Jerusalem for a feast, and he went to the temple, and it says that he was in Solomon's porch, a part of the temple that Herod had built. And as he was there, he was confronted by the Jews, it says. I suspect he's referring to the Pharisees and the scribes, and they wanted to know something. This question must have been the main topic of their conversation when they met together. But they wanted to know something of the Lord Jesus, and they said there in the last part of verse 24, just make sure I got the right, that didn't make sense, yeah. In verse 24, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And so that was their question. How long are you going to keep stringing this on? If you are actually the Christ, will you just plainly tell us so? And Jesus replies with a pretty plain answer, I think, in verse 25. It says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And so Jesus apparently had already told them that he was. And then he confirmed that he was through the many miracles that only the Son of God, the Messiah, sent from God, could possibly have done, yet they still did not believe. Then in verse 26, Jesus tells them why they didn't believe. He goes on and he says, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So he's repeating what he's already told them. But he says there that you don't believe because you're not one of mine. You're not one of my sheep. Now, I'm not exactly sure how they responded to this. The Word of God doesn't say that if they scoffed or they were angry or whatever it may be, apart from once we get down a little bit further. But I suspect they didn't really care if they were the sheep of Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was from God, and so they didn't really want to be his sheep. But what I can be very sure of, or all of us can be very sure of, is these Jews did believe they were God's sheep. Because they were Jews, because they were of the seed of Abraham, because they were a part of Israel, they firmly believed that God was their shepherd, they were his sheep, that God loved them, God cared for them, and God would look after them, and that God was pleased with them. Little did they know, though, that blessings from God and being that wonderful blessing of being the sheep of God and the children of God didn't come through physical birth and your ancestor being Abraham. It came through faith and obedience. Now, if you're not sure of that, let's just turn back to chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus says this very clearly to them. at a separate time. In chapter 8, verse 39, says, "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus saith unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And so here, previously, the Lord Jesus had told them very plainly, they aren't the children of God in that sense. God isn't their heavenly father. In fact, Satan is their father. Just because Abraham was your physical father, that doesn't mean that you are of the house of God. That comes through faith and obedience in God. They were not the sheep of God, despite them thinking so. And it's this idea that I want us to consider this evening. There are plenty of people who make the same mistake as these Jews. There are many people who think they are God's children. Not so much today because they are of the lineage of Abraham and they are a Jew, but for other reasons. They will say they're a Christian. They believe Jesus is their shepherd. They are sure that Jesus will help them and care for them, and they are convinced that they are one of his sheep. But sadly, there are many that aren't. They may be sure, like these Jewish people, that God is their heavenly father and they are his people, but they aren't. And you may think that this evening. I would suspect most of you do. And most of you, I suspect, would be thinking that you're saved and Jesus is your shepherd. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think I am one of Jesus's sheep as well. And it's wonderful when you have that assurance that you are one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are wonderful promises in the Word of God. And there's nothing wrong with saying that the Lord is my shepherd and that he is my Savior. But just saying it isn't enough. If you want all the blessings that come with it, it has to be a reality. And sadly, there are too many people who say it, think it, but it's not a reality. And there isn't the same blessings waiting for them in the future. Yet here in verses 27 to 29, Jesus tells us some wonderful things about being his sheep. Some things that he will do for his sheep. But he also tells us how we can tell if we are one of his sheep. He tells the Jews here that they are not his sheep because of certain things. You're not my sheep because of this and because of this and because of this. And so it's good for us to have a look at what the Lord Jesus says you will find in somebody who is a sheep of the Lord Jesus, and he is their shepherd. And if you say that you're saved, if you say the Lord is my shepherd, these things should be found in your life. And so I want to just have a look at what the Lord Jesus says here, first of all, and then we'll look at sort of the promise he makes and how they respond to this. But the key verse for us tonight is verse 27. This is what the Lord Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 3 points. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, you're not one of my sheep because you don't hear my voice, because my sheep hear it. Now, Obviously, Jesus wasn't meaning hearing the words that he spoke, because they actually heard what Jesus was saying then, and they heard lots of things that he was saying as well. Now, the word actually simply means to hear or to hearken or to obey. There's a very big difference between hearing someone and hearkening to them. Your father may say, "Don't go down the street," and you may hear him. But hearkening means you don't go down the street. People can still go down the street. You know, children can sneak off, and they heard, but they didn't hearken. You know, you can hear your mother say a lot of things, but it's actually the hearkening to what she says that brings pleasure to her. And these Pharisees heard what Jesus said, but they didn't hearken to him. And that's exactly what happens with many people today who profess the Lord as their shepherd. They hear the words of Jesus, they hear the voice to obey, they hear his voice where he says to follow, they hear his voice when he says don't do this and start doing that, they hear it, but they don't hearken. And they don't obey it, just like these Jews. Jesus says, "My sheep hearken. They accept what I say, they listen to my words, and they obey it." And that's what Jesus was basically saying to them: "You're not my sheep, because you don't hearken to me. You're not interested in what I'm saying to you." You know, when the Lord says that, he says, this is a description of one of my sheep. Well, then, I know a lot of people where that should make them rather scared, that they really are the sheep of the Lord Jesus, because they hear lots of things, but they don't hearken. They hear the voice of the shepherd saying to depart from sin, to not delve into various things, but they don't listen. Instead, they ignore. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." It doesn't say also that they hear my voice when they feel like it, or they hear my voice, or they sometimes hear my voice. Now, we all fall, we all sin, but there is a difference between rejecting and actually hearkening. So the first question is, if the Lord is your shepherd, do you actually hearken to him? Has he been convicting you of something? Has he been speaking to you about something? Well, the question is, have you been listening and hearkening? That's the first thing. He goes on and he says, "And I know them." Jesus told the Jews that he knows who his sheep are. Now, the shepherds of these days would know their sheep. Possibly they would even know their names. I'm not exactly sure. And if a sheep snuck into their flock as he went through and he was looking at his sheep, he would know straight away that that stray is not one of his. Jesus knows exactly who are his sheep. You know, the thing is, we can portray ourselves in a certain light, speak and act and dress and so on, but Jesus knows exactly who are his this very night. But he does say that he will let us know as well. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, we have that lovely passage, and I know that sometimes I even struggle. What does this mean? But it says there in Romans chapter 8 that there is a Holy Spirit that he will give us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, we read this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the sons of God are led by the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, wherein we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God." You know, there's a number of things here, and it's a message on its own, but the whole key of this is that the Spirit of God is involved in this. There's a work of God that the Spirit of God does, where we become the children of God and He indwells us and He comforts us and He illuminates us and He does a spiritual work in us. It becoming one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus isn't just taking on a religion or performing a few acts and declaring yourself a Christian. It is a work of God inside us. It's a miracle that takes place. And God says when He sees our faith in what His Son has done on that cross and we call upon Him to save us, He will do a miracle in us. And when that miracle happens, things start to happen in our life. And He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We get to see things happen in us that wouldn't have happened normally. We have a comfort of eternity that we would never have had before. We have a joy of understanding that our sins are forgiven like we never have had before. We have that sorrow over sin, that conviction about doing what's right and staying away from what's wrong, that desire to please God. We have a desire to hear, see His Word and read His Word. There's so many things that change. The question you need to ask yourself is, do you notice within yourself that there is something inside you? There is the work of the Spirit of God taking place. It needs to be there. As Jesus said, I know them. And He has placed that Spirit of God so we may know that as well. But then He goes on to say, and they follow Me. The word follow there means to imitate. The Lord's sheep act like Him. They imitate Him. You know, those proud, stubborn, unloving Pharisees didn't look anything like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were hypocrites. They had a show of righteousness that the world could see, so that the world would think well of them, but in their hearts, behind closed doors, they were dead men's bones, it says, like that whited sepulchre, looking great on the outside, but stunk on the inside, and Jesus knew that. They did the very opposite to what the Lord Jesus did. He had a sincere love for people. It's apparent that they didn't. He had pure motives. And they were the reasons why He did what He did. Yet they didn't. And if you're His sheep, God says you're going to follow in His footsteps. You're going to love God in a sincere way. You're going to have a desire to act like Christ and to be like Christ and to imitate Him. Say, do, think what He does and allow Him to make you a little Christ. You know, I often say to people who are doubting their salvation, depends on how old they are, but if they can look back the last 5 years at least, have you seen the work of God in your life in the last 5 years? Because it will be there. It should be there. You, as we follow, He says that when you become one of Mine, you become My workmanship. And that's like the man that's chipping away and he's forming something. And you have the men with the stones and they chip away and they make these magnificent sites. It could be something with a timber, but we are God's workmanship. And what is He chipping away and making us to look like? The Son. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if you have been saved for 5 years, you must be seeing changes. That's what following the Lord is. Becoming an imitator of Him. You know, I, over the years, get very concerned when you come across people who are leaders of some sort. Youth group, one way. Sunday school, within the church, they teach and preach maybe and they speak what God says, but then they secretly don't do it themselves. It's a scary place to be, and that's what the Pharisees were like. They taught the people, yet they didn't obey themselves. They weren't following the Lord God at all. And we need to be asking ourselves, are these three simple things found in us? Do we hear and listen? Do we have the Spirit of God dwelling, showing us that we are truly of God? And are we following Him? You know, Jesus says, if you are, well then there's a wonderful gift that I will give you, as He goes on, as we see in verse 28. And I give unto them, that's His sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. You know, if you're not saved, this is the promise that Jesus wants to give. If you will become one of His sheep, eternal life. You know, that's different to an eternal existence. There's a very big difference between existence and life. You know, for us, despite having aches and pains and sadnesses and sorrows, we have life. We can live today. There are plenty of people in hospitals. You go into some wards where people have had spinal injuries and they are paralyzed from their neck down. I've been in those places. It's a sad place. And they are trapped in a body. And it's not really living. It's an existence. We have life. Now, change that 1,000-fold. God says, Jesus says to those who receive me and become my sheep, I will give you life. Yet those who reject him, they have an eternal existence. They still survive, but they have eternal torment and fear and pain and sorrow. I don't think there's anything worse than that. An eternal existence without God. But Jesus promises eternal life. And he made that to these people. And he said, and I will secure you. As he goes on to say there, I'll give them eternal life and you'll never perish and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is what he was offering to these Pharisees. Now, what did they do when they heard that offer? It says here in verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That was the response that they got. They said to Jesus, when they met him, stop messing around with us, just tell us, we want to know the truth. Are you the Messiah? I am. I told you that already. But you don't understand that because you're not my sheep. My sheep do this. And he explains it. But I tell you what, those who are my sheep have eternal life. And how do they respond? They reject it. And they want to crucify him, or not stone him at this stage. And for each person that is here this evening, the question I'd like to ask you is, are you one of the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sure about that? Do you obey? Do you acknowledge and see the Spirit of God working in you? And do you follow Him? Have you seen Him fashioning you? If not, or if you don't even need convincing, I am not saved. Are you going to be like these foolish men who faced the good shepherd, the shepherd of eternity, and reject Him? Or are you willing to come to that point and say, I'm a sinner and I need you as my shepherd? No, the Lord does the work. He's the one who does the convicting. If the Lord's been convicting you just that you're not one of His sheep, will you please make sure tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that there is a good shepherd who loves us. And all of us can become one of His sheep. Lord, we need that. It's a scary world without you. We need your guidance, protection. And Lord, above all, we need to know that when we pass from this world, we will be with you for eternity. Lord, if there are some here tonight, even one, that hasn't enjoyed that eternal life, I pray that they would come and speak to me or someone else afterwards, I pray. And I commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.